ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 20, Pure Devotional Service, Text Number 20. Manogatim na visrijej jita prano jitendriyaha sattva sampannaya buddhya mana atma vasham nayet. मनोगतिम न विसृजेज जिता प्राणो जितेन्द्रियः सत्वा संपन्नया बुद्ध्या मना आत्मा वशम नयेत। मनोगतिम न विसृजेज जिता प्राणो जितेन्द्रियः सत्वा संपन्नया बुद्ध्या मना आत्मा वशम नयेत। मनोगतिम न विसृजेज जिता प्राणो जितेन्द्रियः सत्वा संपन्नया बुद्ध्या मना आत्मा वशम नयेत। मनः ऑफ द माइंड, गतिम गोल, न नॉट, विसृजेत शुड लूज साइट ऑफ, जिता प्राणा वन हु हैज कॉन्कर्ड द ब्रेथ, जिता इतिंद्रिया हु हैज कॉन्कर्ड हिज सेंसेस, सत्वा ऑफ द मोड ऑफ गुडनेस, संपन्नया कैरेक्टराइज बाय फ्लरिशिंग, बुद्धिया by the intelligence, manaha, the mind, atma vasham, under the control of the self, nayet, one should bring. Translation by the servants of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. One should never lose sight of the actual goal of mental activities, but rather conquering the life air and senses and utilizing intelligence strengthened by the mode of goodness, one should bring the mind under the control of the self. Translation responsively. One should never lose sight of the actual goal of mental activities, but rather conquering the life air and senses and utilizing intelligence strengthened by the mode of goodness, one should bring the mind under the control of the self. Purport. Although the mind may suddenly wander outside the jurisdiction of self-realization, one must bring the mind back under control by clear intelligence in the mode of goodness. The best solution is to keep the mind always busy in the service of Lord Krishna, so that the mind cannot wander onto the dangerous path of sense gratification headed by sex attraction. The material mind is naturally inclined to accept material objects at every moment. Therefore, unless the mind is seriously brought under control, there is no possibility of becoming steady on the path of spiritual advancement. Om Agyanati Varandasya Agyananjana Shalakya Jakshunamdamina Tasmai Shri Guru Vinamaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasidhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So in this section of, these set of verses, Krishna is actually giving tips how to control the mind. In the previous set of verses, the human form of life was being glorified, the human body. Especially the human body on the earthly planets was being glorified. Because it's being glorified because it's a very special opportunity to come out of this cycle of birth and death. Because in other species of life, this opportunity is not there. Because this highly developed consciousness is not there. Therefore, and also the heavenly, it was described, the heavenly planets and the hellish planets are not very conducive for the path of self-realization. Because on the heavenly planets, one can get carried away by all the comforts of life. And on the hellish planets, there's too much misery, so one cannot focus one's mind properly. Therefore, the human form of the human body on the earth was being glorified. Though there's actually, in one sense, the human body is not very glorious, because it's made up of abominable substances and it's giving us so much problems. But still it is very glorious, because with this temporary body we can achieve the eternal. So here in these set of verses, then, you know, it's being described how if one is practicing Krishna consciousness and if one's mind deviates, then how to bring it back on the path. So obviously here is there's a lot of emphasis on the mind. So there's this verse in Bhagavad Gita, a very famous verse, chapter 6, verse number 5. It's Udharet Atman Atmanam, Natmanam Avasadayet, Atmaeva Hi Atmano Bandur, Atmaeva Ripur Atmanaha. That one must deliver himself with the help of his mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. So we can see that this verse describes the power of the mind. The mind is so powerful, it can be a best friend or it can be a worst enemy. So here the word Atma is used a lot. And Atma can refer to the soul, to spirit soul, to the mind or to the body. But in this context, it's referring to the mind. And actually, the purpose of all the different yoga systems is to control the mind. Because if the mind is loose, one cannot focus on self-realization. So whether it's karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, bhakti yoga, the goal is to control the mind and bring it back on the path of self-realization. And we can see, because Krishna says it can be a worst enemy, so it's the mind is like a very, very powerful instrument. You can see with the power of the mind, so, in modern society, so many objects have been invented. And we can see also with the power of the mind, so much destruction is caused. Like all the weapons which are created, they can cause so much destruction also. Or the mind can elevate us to the highest realms of existence. So, you know, that's the power of the mind. And with the mind we can see how much, you know, again, if you take it from the enemy side, the mind can actually cause so much disturbance. And, you know, we can see people who are very, like, mentally disturbed. They can cause so much disturbance to themselves, and not only to themselves, but to others living around them. It's actually amazing, you know, one person can cause so much disturbance. Everything is turned upside down. That's just the mind of one person. And in Kali Yuga, we see actually one of the symptoms of this age of Kali is that people are always disturbed. And we can see that's why the society is in a very chaotic condition. Everybody's mind is disturbed in the age of Kali. And that creates such negative energy, you know. So all these negative vibrations are there. You can go in a tram and sometimes, or you can even see road rage that is a result of disturbed mind. Or sometimes you can see, even if we have the best physical surroundings, the most comfortable physical surrounding, and if somebody's mind is disturbed, you know, they cannot actually enjoy that, despite having the best physical circumstances around them. Everything is perfect, but their life will be actually hellish. And it can be vice versa also, you know. Especially we see in, like, you can see in India, like, conditions are not very physically comfortable. But many times we see people, they're not very disturbed by it, because they're in a very steady frame of mind. So therefore, you know, one can actually tolerate all of that. But if one's mind is agitated all the time, no matter what kind of, you know, even if we have the best physical circumstances, we'll still be disturbed. And also we see those, if one is disturbed all the time, you know, if one's mind is giving trouble all the time, for, you know, hours, days, months, years, such people become actually very depressed and can also lead to, like, you know, suicidal tendencies, homicidal tendencies, because all because of the mind. And you know, the mind takes so much energy. Have you ever tried talking to a person whose mind is very disturbed? You know, you can talk for 1 hour. After that, you know, your mind is like drained. There's no energy left. It totally drains our energy. So the brain or the mind actually takes so much energy. It's very, very, very consuming. Of course, the body also takes, but the mind also takes a lot of energy. So it's very important where we are focusing our energies on. And also we can see now mental illness is the second major illness in the world after cardiovascular diseases. It's ranking number 2. And as Kali Yuga is progressing, probably it will rank number 1 very soon. Because that's the symptom of this age of Kali. People's minds are always disturbed. And basically, the basis of our material existence is pretty much the mind. This is that verse, Bhagavad Gita 15:7. Maya vamcha jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana, mana shishthani jani, prakriti sthani, karshati. So it describes that why we come in this material world, because of misusing our minute form of independence. Because we also have all of Krishna's qualities, but in very minute degree. So one of these qualities is of individuality or independence. So when we misuse that, we get covered over by the 3 modes of nature and we land in the material world. And then we are bound up by the false ego. The false ego is compared to iron shackles. And the mind is the chief driving agent. So it's the mind which is driving us in material existence, depending on which modes of nature it is coming in contact with. So if it comes in contact with the mode of goodness, basically we are happy and materially happy, and you know, symptoms of mode of goodness is happiness, knowledge, sense of satisfaction. But if it comes in contact with the mode of passion, then people are hankering, lamenting, you know, very strong desires, then results in misery, greed. And when it comes in contact with the mode of ignorance, just basically madness, you know, illusion, indolence. And the result is that one goes down to the lower species of life. So when it comes in contact with the mode of passion, might stay on the, you know, human platform. But mode of goodness, one can actually elevate oneself. So the mind is compared to the driver, and the car is compared to the body we have, and we are like the passenger in the car. So you know, you can imagine if you have a driver who has gone out of control, what will be your situation? You know, it's a very, very scary situation. But a driver, somebody hijacks your car, like sometimes, you know, flights get hijacked. So then, you know, the pilot is at the mercy of the hijacker, and he has to do whatever the hijacker is telling him to do. He has to go. So, and it's a very scary situation for the passengers. I myself was in one such situation recently when I went to India. My parents decided to go to Rishikesh to take me also. So I said, okay. Above Rishikesh, it's Ganges is flowing, and the roads are very narrow. Very, very narrow roads. And at some points, places, you're like 400-500 meters. 400-500 meters below is the river Ganges. So, and it's only a, you know, one lane road. And you know, sometimes roads in India can be very, very narrow. And there's no railings. So they had hired this driver who was basically driving like a maniac. Especially when we were coming downhill, he's driving so fast, and despite, you know, me telling him, my parents telling him, drive slowly, he was still going very, very fast. And it was actually a very, very scary situation, because so many buses and trucks have actually fallen down, you know, gone down the hill. So it's actually a very, very scary situation. If our mind takes control of our life, we are simply at the mercy of the mind. So wherever it drags us, you know, we just go with it. So it tells us, do this, and we follow that. And Krishna gives the example in Bhagavad Gita is how the air is carrying aromas. So but the air itself doesn't get affected. It's just the different aromas we smell. Depending on which aroma the air comes in contact with, it acquires a certain like smell. So similarly, the power of the mind is such that it is actually dragging us into different life forms. And that's the power of the mind. So whatever consciousness we have at the time of death, we get a certain kind of body. And then the next verse goes on to describe that the mind, then accordingly, we acquire a certain nose, certain eyes, certain ear, and a certain tongue. These are all grouped around the mind. So when we see, you know, different species around us, you know, we can think, oh, they're very cute or whatever, very scary. But actually, they are actually grouped around the mind. The specific senses we are seeing of these different species, we can understand from that they are actually grouped around the mind. So mind is not a thing which we cannot take a mind very lightly. So mind is actually very, very powerful. And because of the mind, we are struggling. The Sanskrit word is karshati. You know. So we are struggling in this life, and not only in this life, and then we have to transmigrate to different species. And then again we are struggling. So this struggle for existence is actually perpetual. So the mind is actually the chief driving agent of our struggle for existence. So one of the functions of the mind is to accept and reject. And as Her Grace Jagatrini Mataji was explaining yesterday, how we take this acceptance and rejection of the mind very, very seriously. And it actually consumes our entire consciousness. You can see how we were accepting and rejecting in the past, we are doing it at the present, and Mataji was telling how we will be doing it in the future also, this acceptance and rejection. So it's like, you know, when we are a child, so we like a particular set of toys and we are repelled by certain kind of toys. And then we grow up, we like certain set of objects and we are repelled by a certain set of objects. And so sometimes we like something, then we reject the same thing after some time. Like you can see your thoughts, how our thoughts are working. We embrace one thought or reflection, then after some time we'll reject that thought. So this is going on all the time, constantly, throughout our whole life. And our entire consciousness is consumed by it. So you can see, like, you know, people are fully absorbed in romance, career, family. You know, sometimes, you know, people are after certain consumer items. You know, we want this for a product, but then later they'll be rejecting that for another product. So like this, our consciousness is fully consumed by the mind. Also, I said how another function of the mind is to think and reflect, thoughts and reflections. And the Bhagavatam says these thoughts and reflections actually gives rise to desires. So because we always, you know, thoughtful and reflective, it gives rise to desires. So we can actually see our thoughts quite often. Especially we can see the activities of the mind, especially in japa, when we are chanting. So you can see the mind very, very distinctly, very clearly. How the mind starts wandering off, you're chanting, and then it, you know, goes like that. Then you can see, it's called nischalati, the mind is wandering. It's chanchalam, flickering. And it's unsteady. So you can, while chanting, you can see your thoughts and reflections, you know. You'll suddenly realize, oh, I've chanted two rounds, I didn't even notice. You know, you have been thinking about something for two, three rounds. Then, oh, that was actually a thought. Then we come back to the chanting. So we can see how the mind is constantly, you know, thoughtful, and it's always reflecting on something. And the mind is constitutionally in the mode of goodness. Therefore, we have to surround ourselves by the activities of the mode of goodness. In modern civilization, the modes of passion and ignorance are encouraged. And therefore, no wonder everyone's mind is so disturbed. Then the question is how to control the mind. How to make it our best friend, as Krishna is saying. The mind can be a best friend or it can be a worst enemy. So as this verse describes, one should never lose sight of the actual goal of mental activities. So we should actually have a goal. We should have the ultimate goal in life. So the ultimate goal in life is prema pumartho mahan. This is to develop love for Krishna, love for God. That's the ultimate goal of life. So unless there is a goal, you know, how can we control the mind? And how can we achieve the goal? A goal is actually very, very important. And if there is a goal, then there is a process to achieve the goal. So we know the process to achieve the goal is sadhana, vairi sadhana bhakti, you know, rules and regulations meant to revive our eternal love for Krishna. So all the activities we do in the temple, all the devotional service is basically to revive our love for Krishna. And Prabhupada wrote so many books, you know, cautioning us, warning us, guiding us how to go about on this path of self-realization. So that's why it's actually very, very important to study Srila Prabhupada's books every day. So we can actually keep the goal in mind. Because if we forget the goal, then what will happen? Is then sooner or later we will become the goal.
Chaos.
Thank you. So if we forget the goal, then sooner or later, you know, because we need a goal anyway in life. So then the goal will be to satisfy ourselves. We will become the center instead of Krishna. And we can see like, and sometimes, you know, we can forget the goal. If we have the goal in life and if we get deviated, so it's like if somebody is riding a bicycle and they fall down. But if they know their destination, they'll basically pick themselves up, sit on the bicycle, and again ride it to the desired destination. So similarly, if we know the goal, and if we get deviated from the path of Krishna consciousness, we can basically, you know, again get strength and pick ourselves up, and again carry on the path. So that's why the goal is very important. But if we don't have a goal, we become the goal. And that's what we see happens in, if you take mundane religiosity, in dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Basically, religiosity is performed to satisfy the self, mundane religiosity. You know, and we see, as Srimad Bhagavatam, in the very second verse, rejects that. It's kayatava dharma. So, in that system of religion, basically, the goal, they are the goal. And God is like the order supplier, you know. So God is the order supplier to give all the, you know, necessities of life and desires. And so in modern society, what has happened? You know, people have figured out actually we don't need to approach God. We can actually get whatever we want through economic development. Prabhupada gives the example of in the communist countries, the communists would come. And they would say, you know, why are you all going to church? We'll give you a loaf of bread. You know, in the church you're asking, my Lord, give me my daily bread. So they're saying, you ask us the same thing. And then they bring a truck full of bread and they, you know, and people ask that and they give them bread. So then sooner or later people think, why do I need to approach God if I can actually fulfill all my desires myself through economic development? Like these days we can see how it's very, very, you know, easy to get a loan. You can practically get a loan for anything. So, you know, so these days people's worshipable objects are the banks. So whatever you want, the bank will give you a loan for. So basically we have to learn how to tame the mind in Krishna consciousness. In the next verse, the mind is compared to a strong-headed horse. So a horse is actually a very, very powerful animal. And if any of you have done horse riding, you have to, when you ride a horse, as it describes in the next verse also, you can't pull the reins all the time, you know, because the horse will basically throw you off its back and might kick you. I've seen this happen to my friends, that they, you know, they're telling the horse, you turn here, turn here, turn right or left. And the horse basically, you know, got annoyed and threw them off and kicked them, and then they ended up in hospital. So, so our mind is like that. In the previous verse, it describes how sometimes you have, and says, Nectar of Instruction says, Vacho Megam Manasa Krodha Vegam. So the mind has its demands. And sometimes the demands of the mind have to be satisfied, but under regulations, not unrestrictedly. That's why in the previous verse it describes how one should not eat too austerely, or one should not sleep too less, sleep too much, eat too less, eat too much. Also, like if we eat very austerely, then after some time the mind will flip. So it's good to, you know, if the mind likes sweets, okay, eat, but in regulation. So sometimes, you know, devotees very eat very austerely, you know, fired up program, so there's no, just, you know, no sweets, no maha. So after some time they're only eating maha. And also it's very important to get the right amount of sleep. If we sleep too less, too little, then again, if you sleep too less, again the mind flips, you get angry at others, give others a hard time, and very, you know, get annoyed, get irritated very easily. So it's very important to actually regulate our activities. And in this verse it mentions that how we have to surround ourselves by the mode of goodness, or go beyond that. So that's why activities in the mode of goodness are very, very important. Because the mind by constitution is in the mode of goodness. And the mind will behave according to the modes it is associating with. Also it mentions in the beginning of the 11th canto that how everything is composed of the modes of nature to the most minute degree. So like the water you drink, the religious scriptures, you know, one's association with people, the kind of place where you are in residing, you know, wherever you are, the time of the day, different activities, births, meditation, different kinds of mantras, different kinds of rituals. So everything is composed of the modes of nature. So we have to associate with basically the mode of goodness. So we have to choose our association. But in today's society, it's basically encouraging the mode of passion. This mode of goodness is actually nil, almost nil. And mode of passion eventually leads to mode of ignorance. And if you see today's society, they're actually, you know, increase, buy, you know, it's all artificial. They're actually fueling, the modern day governments are actually fueling people's artificial needs. So that's basically the mode of passion. And then people wonder why there's no peace of mind. And the result of the mode of goodness is we get a controlled mind. And we're happy. So one gets a sense of happiness. And also one gets knowledge. All the 9 gates of the body get illuminated by knowledge. So sometimes the mode of goodness, you know, these people, when you talk to them, if you describe them, sometimes people ask, what is your lifestyle? And when you describe them your Krishna conscious lifestyle, they think it is very, very, there are too many restrictions. And because the mode of passion and ignorance means very free lifestyle. Do whatever you feel like doing. Whatever your mind tells you, you do that. But the result is actually the opposite, exactly the opposite. But in the mode of goodness, it is. It seems there's a lot of restrictions, but actually it's not. So it seems to be very restrictive, but the mode of goodness is. But these are like the regulative principles of freedom, as Krishna says in the Gita. So though it might be regulated, but it gives us more freedom. And actually, ISKCON is like a mental hospital. Because the mind needs training. You know, we say, you know, ISKCON is a hospital, but it's actually for the mind. Everything is, the whole shastras, everything is dedicated towards the mind. So ISKCON is actually like a mental hospital. So outside, people think good mental health means when you're normal, you know, you're behaving normally. So basically, when you're just behaving like any other consumer outside, then you're a normal person. But we understand from the Vedic scriptures that is actually not normal life. So when we join up the Hare Krishna movement, it's actually about reforming our mind. It's actually about taming the mind, making the mind a best friend. And this entire morning program, all the different activities are basically to bring the mind under the self. And recently there was this Japa retreat. So it's all about, it's all focused on the mind. How to basically control the mind. How to basically focus on your chanting and not get distracted by the mind, by the demands of the mind. So that's what that entire 3-4 days retreat was about. It's focusing on the mind. And if we start this as young as we are, it is good for us. Once somebody asked, a reporter asked Srila Prabhupada one question. He said, why are all the members in your movement very young? Then Prabhupada backfired and he asked that why do all young people go to university? Why not old people go to colleges? Of course, these days you see even some old people are doing courses, they are in their 50s or 60s, they have enrolled up. But generally the most number of students is young students. And he said, because in youth we have to learn. So Prabhupada said, similarly, in young age you have to learn Krishna consciousness. You have to train your mind. So it's there's a saying, old habits die hard, so it's hard to tame an old dog. So similarly, we have to, of course there are exceptions to the rule, but if we come when we are young, it is good for us. There's always exceptions to the rule. But if we engage in this process of Krishna consciousness, of taming the mind, it will actually over a period of time it will become a best friend. And we can see this with so many senior devotees in ISKCON, how they've persevered. Their perseverance is a very important quality to develop. Because they've persevered in their practice of Krishna consciousness, the mind is actually their friend and is actually helping them in the progress of Krishna consciousness. At so many of the retreats we have at the farm, this pandemonium show is enacted, me and my mind. I've seen it many times, and actually and Chandaneshwar Prabhu is the director, and he's usually the mind, and Akhil is me. So this is me and the mind. So that actually describes our situation very nicely. I was thinking about it. So the pandemonium show begins by the me sitting on the sofa and trying to do his studies, and then the mind is very restless, unsteady, and wandering here and there. So the mind is looking here and there, and then Kali comes in. Kali comes in the picture, and Kali brings this movie poster, and then the mind is fully absorbed in that, and then the mind goes to me. And says, look over there. And first the mind is, me says, no, 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 no. And then the me looks over there. And then the me gets, then basically the mind wins over me, over the self. So that's actually our situation. So in the beginning, the mind gives us a very, very hard time. And then in the pandemonium show, then they bring a bottle of whiskey. At the last retreat, it was a real bottle. They brought a real bottle. It was Heineken's or some other brand. Or it at least looked very real. I don't know if it was real. Huh? Johnny Walker. So, then again, the self gets attracted. The mind gets attracted. So like that, like this, we are being carried on in material existence. The mind is driving us. Then later in the Pandemonium show, a devotee comes in the scene and gives a Bhagavad Gita to me. And then the self starts reading it. And again, then the mind is looking here and there and is trying to distract the self. And in the beginning, the self does get distracted in so many ways. But when the self perseveres in the practice of Krishna consciousness, we see eventually what happens is that the me takes over the mind. And then mind becomes the best friend. And when the self is sleeping, the mind actually wakes up the self, you know. Hey, wake up, you know, you have to chant your rounds. Don't fall asleep while you're chanting. So like that we see how mind becomes the best friend. And we can see this in the lives of the residents of Vrindavan, the gopis, how their mind is constantly absorbed in Krishna. Now, ours is the opposite. You know, very rarely we'll get a thought of Krishna, we'll think about Krishna. But their mind is constantly absorbed at the lotus feet of the Lord. So 24 hours a day, they're thinking about Krishna, how to serve in different ways. So we have to persevere in our practice of Krishna consciousness, and gradually the mind will become a friend and it will actually help us in our progress in Krishna consciousness. I'll stop there and see if there are any questions or comments or corrections. Yes, go ahead.
Nandamudhi, your lecture has been very interesting, very amusing, and very thought-provoking. Because you are telling the real truth, considering that perhaps I would say you have to beat your mind few hundred times.
Thank you for bringing that up. Yes, I forgot that point. Yes. 100 times in the morning when you wake up, and while sleeping, how many times? Maybe 1,000, say something like that.
When you were telling about taming the horses, I remember when I was young, 2064, I was riding a horse. Of course, the ground was very soft, loose, but he made me fall so many times. Thank God I was not married at that time.
Some devotees could not understand what you said.
I said I was not married. Not married. Not so much responsibility.
Okay.
So it is really very hard to control the mind. And I'll tell you my personal example. So about horse. Second thing, I was very addicted to tea, cup of tea, you know. So when I started coming to this con, I said, very difficult to carry. So what I need to do, I will tell my mind to carry 4 rounds, and then I will go. So like that, I have to gradually push to 16 rounds. But not really for the key. So like that, you have to really carry your mind to do the right job.
Yes,
but I want to go to you said goodness. So how in goodness,
one can come to a stage of goodness by associating with people who are in that mode and different things which are in the mode of goodness. So by association of devotees, come to a mode of goodness, and by rendering devotional service.
Thank you.
Also, that was a nice point you brought up, how which I forgot to mention, was how when people are new in Krishna consciousness, we do not emphasize, you know, because they have very strong attachments. Like one devotee came and he said he wants to do skydiving because he was standing Hare Krishna. So we didn't discourage him, because their demands of the mind are very, very strong, and if they don't do it, you know, they can't practice Krishna much. So in the beginning, let them do, but the main thing is encourage them to chant Hare Krishna, and eventually they'll, you know, give up those demands.
And your example of mental hospital is very accurate. His coin is like mental. When we come into here, we are completely mental. Slowly we come past the Prabhupada. That's why he has opened the door of mercy from the spiritual world for all of us, otherwise we could never take up Krishna. slowly control yourself. Did you have Lord Chaitanya?
Not Chaitanya.
Chaitanya Sadhana.
Thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Because of all that and that the mind is in material existence, intelligence doesn't get a look in.
Sorry?
Intelligence doesn't get a look in material existence. It's a servant of the mind.
It's the?
Servant of the mind rather than the rest of the mind.
Yeah, people are under the control of the mind. So. He's saying, if I've understood your question rightly, that he's saying that everybody is under the control of the mind. The intelligence is not being used. That's a good point. Yes, Prabhu.
I can give you an example of mental hospital.
Yes.
Everybody there thinks he's a king. Every patient thinks he's a king.
That's right. That's a sign of madness, because, and we are thinking we are the body, so that's also madness.
Exactly. So we have to be very grateful to the Prabhupada to make this con throughout the world, wherever you go.
You know,
I tell you another person, I was studying this ash of the volcano. So, 4 days I was there in Germany, Kurkumann.
Oh, recently?
Recently came, yeah.
Okay.
Recently. Started again from the study.
Started again?
Yeah, okay. They started closing the airport. So, it's a real mess because somebody told me it may take 2 years to clear. Yeah, to get out from this very quickly. And Mahaprabhu had done so many things for me in those 4 days, I couldn't believe. So if you get in touch with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everything gets better. This is my experience.
Yeah. Yes, sir. About this one? The comment was, he's saying how people are always under the influence of the mind. They're not using the intelligence, because the intelligence is higher than the mind. They are for sense gratification, but not to elevate themselves spiritually. Intelligence functions to satisfy the whims of the mind, to figure out how to, you know, get what the mind wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I'd like to add.
Yes,
ma'am. But spiritually, when you do the spiritual sadhana, Krishna says that he is really the intelligence by which he can control. So as long as you are materially oriented, as you pointed out, the intelligence is used for sense gratification. But the moment you chant and talk to Krishna completely,
that's right.
By which you can talk with
him.
So he takes
care of Buddhi Yoga.
More than anything.
Yeah.
So
that's right. Thank you. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki.